You ready?
Yeah.
Let's get it on. I don't normally do that. I don't know why I did that. All right, here we go. Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. New episodes are released the first Monday of the month. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hey.
And joining us today via Skype, we're doing it old school. We don't really do a lot of these remote ones. And when I hit him up to be on the show, he was like, Skype? What the hell? Like, nobody uses Skype anymore. And I was like, oh, shit, my bad. But we're using Skype, keeping it old school. It's none other than that motherfucker, Jody B. Boop, boop, boop.
Guys, gals, how the hell are ya?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
I'm so happy to be here speaking with you this evening. I know we've kind of not lost touch. We got cell phones. Every once in a while, we'll say hello, Christmas cards and whatnot. I keep in tabs on you guys. But I didn't realize you'd brought your goddamn show back.
That goes to show you how poor of a job I do at advertising the show and doing the marketing side of things.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Somebody needs to do a better job. God dang it. That's terrible.
Hey, man, I'm running my own shit. All right. So like Rod needs to take care of his baby. Like this is his baby. Like he needs to take care of it. Bro.
Get to it. Yeah. She say, crack the whip.
This is my baby. Yeah. So here we are. We've been back for over a year now. So I will try to do a better job. Well, I do a good job, I feel like, on Instagram.
It's up. Yeah.
Yeah. On Instagram, I do a pretty good job. But yeah, I'm not on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I guess we should get the socials out of the way right off the bat. Jody B is a Twitter exclusive.
Yes.
So if you want to get a hold of him, hit him up at PoBoyPod. That's P-O and then boy and then pod, all one word. Keeps it simple. You know what I'm saying? Denise, where can people get a hold of you if they want to do that?
At D for Music, DEEFUR Music.
All right. And if you want to get a hold of the show, Instagram, I guess, at the LP Pod. Hit us up right there. You can also email the show, feedback@lppod.com. But anyways, Jody, so thanks again very much for joining us. You host your own show, the Po' Boy Podcast.
Yes.
How long have you been doing that now?
7 years.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Now, you guys know as well as I do, like the first couple of years when you're just humping and bumping and pumping out fucking episodes, you know, I went through that. When I hit about 100, I slowed down a lot, but then I started spreading everywhere else. So like it's a fun thing. I tell people, like, if you like podcasts and you hear me once, Google search Jody B and podcasts, and you'll get like 50 different podcasts that'll pop up, different episodes of different things that I've done. Maybe even a few old school LPP episodes floating around in there. So yeah, I enjoy it. I do podcasting. That's my hobby. I don't golf, you know, I don't watch sports. I podcast.
Another life hack, I guess, if people are into this sort of thing, just create a Google alert, Jody B podcast.
Yeah, that might work.
And every time you pop up anywhere, like, boom, you get a little email. Hey, Jody B's on a new podcast.
Well, we did a show, me and John Domingo, we did a show for like 2 years, I think. I came in around the 20-some-odd mark, and we went all the way to 100, and we wrapped the show. So that was fun to actually be able to do that and not just pod fade, get to 100 episodes and just call it quits, have a big finale thing, and that was a lot of fun. So now I've done that. So I've done everything there is to do in podcasting. So now I just do what I like to do, which is sit with my friends and talk about music or get high and laugh at people saying dumb things.
No, yeah, I think you do it the right way now. And
it's the hustle, man. Like, and it gets tiring after a while. And when it becomes like a job is when it's not fun anymore.
Even like this, doing it once a month, every now and then I'm just like, fuck, I got to edit the episode. Editing is still
trim, like, you trim the fucking fat. I mean, I've done projects like with my wife. We like the show Big Brother.
Yes.
And that's what I do now is I don't stick to just one thing. I mix it up. I do all kinds of shit. So anything, anytime, I'll do any podcast if you ask me nicely. So, you know, I do a show with my wife. She got to experience my job, air quote, because in that sense, like you say, if you're doing a weekly show review, you got to put the show out every week. And there were weeks where it got tough. Like in the deep section, it's like a 12-week long show. So you're in there fucking, all right, got to, you know, go in and recap this whole thing, and I got to do this and got to drag this shit out. And, you know, it's late and she's tired. And I'm just like, we have to do it. I put her in a rolly chair and just wheel her ass in here in front of a microphone and say, don't talk, just nod and agree or whatever. And I put it down. Hello, the hashtag BBC, the Big Brother companion.
I loved listening to those episodes. I didn't even watch Big Brother, and I would just listen to the episodes.
That's who it was for. That's why I told her. She was like, who is this for? I said, this is for people who might not watch Big Brother. I said, because if you watch Big Brother, you just watch Big Brother. I said, but if you like almost like an audio drama, like we narrate from the beginning when the people come in, we give bios on the people, we give funny nicknames, and then we go through the whole show and we tell you the goings on.
I loved it. I'm kind of sad you guys
haven't. We might do it again. It just sucks, like I said, because it's the hustle and bustle. You got to have time for it. And I can do it usually one night a week. I'm podcasting with somebody doing something. It just keeps my brain flowing and keeps all the shit out of there.
Yeah.
I got a lot of shit in my head, Denise. You know what I'm saying? I got to mush it around and squeeze it out of my mouth once in a while.
No, yeah. I totally agree with you. I have a once a week podcast. It's very short. That one's my baby. But Rod still edits it and stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully you pay him.
What?
Oh, shit. You working for free, Rodrigo? That's awful.
That is awful.
No one saw the hand gesture.
I need to get one of those. Rod, you want to edit my podcast?
I get paid in different currency.
Pesos. I got it. I need to get some money to you, buddy. Don't worry.
Send it to me via MoneyGram or something.
Yeah. Cash App.
Western Union.
Send you a fucking money order in an envelope.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Were you finished talking about the 110 pod?
Well, I just wanted to mention, like, 100's kind of like where I'm like, eh. Like, with the Taco Tuesday that we did, we ended it at 100. I was done.
Yeah.
It's like a nice round number, right? Like, yeah. You get there, and if it doesn't take off or you're not feeling inspired, like, getting to 100 is the easy part, kind of, because now 101 is the problem. What do you do now? You've been doing the same shit for 100 episodes. You keep doing it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm coming up on my 100th, well, in June or whatever, but I'm already planning it. It's going to be like a big thing with some collaborations with some bands and a studio that hit me up and stuff. So like, I'm really excited about that. But it's like, yeah, after that, like, I do have some plans to change up some of the episodes. But because it's like, it's band involved, like I'm bringing in like bands and stuff. Yeah. And featuring bands, like, I kind of want to continue with it because it's been a really cool journey, like meeting
it kind of gets you credentials, which is nice, right? Technically your media, if you're doing podcasts with bands, you can get into festivals, you can get into other kinds of stuff.
Oh, I haven't even looked into that.
Oh, you should exploit your fucking hobbies, Denise. I have friends who did they do a porn podcast. They got media credentials to like an AVN or whatever the fuck, a porn expo. They got like the discounted shit with the passes.
Damn, I gotta look into that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah.
You can get into NAMM probably.
Oh, I would love to get into NAMM just to experience that, like, honestly.
Yeah.
See, I think I listened to a couple episodes of Mascot Diaries. That was fun. I didn't know if you were still doing that or not. So.
No, that one went up to.
Ranked it all the way to 100. Jesus.
That one went to 60 because I couldn't get any more interviews. I mean, there was a few, but I was kind of like done. And the person that I wanted to have, like, he was supposed to be the end. We were supposed to end at 69. He left his job, and I don't know what happened to him.
That's a really good segue into this month's theme. Jody, would you like to tell the folks at home the theme you chose and why you chose it?
I chose songs about fucking.
Yeah.
Fucking and sucking.
I've had a love-hate relationship with fucking songs forever and ever because, as you all know, it is a popular subject. It goes like peanut butter and jelly, music and sex. There's so many that are just about sex, you know, sex and candy, like it has the word in it, but that's not what I really like. What I really like are songs about fucking, specifically. You know, I had a long list to go through this evening. I had did Big Dumb Sex from Soundgarden. You know that song?
Yeah.
I know what? It's the only time I've ever heard Chris Cornell curse in an album, but he says fuck you a bunch in that song. I'm gonna fuck you. It's fucking great. But my favorite in particular, and we can get into it, my songs. My favorite is people who use innuendo. That's why country is usually the genre that I go with. If I want to really show off something about, like, Conway Twitty had a lot of songs about fucking. And they're not hard to figure out when you hear them. You go like, oh, he's talking about fucking. I was about to lay you down. and saw it whisper pretty love words in your ear. Yeah. I got it, Conway. You're trying to slip it.
It's easy to go for the low-hanging fruit. But yeah, it's nice when it's a little more innuendo, a little more subtle, a little more wordplay involved and
all
that.
I feel like everybody has a favorite song about fucking. Like, if you ask them at some point, they're going to be able to name a few. And I've just off the top of my head, you got fucking Night Moves by Bob Seger. That's a song about fucking. You got That Summer by Garth Brooks. That's a song about fucking. There's so many songs about fucking.
I think That Summer, was That Summer one of the Garth Brooks tracks that you compiled for me? I burned that up into a CD.
I love that song.
That's the one where he bangs the older lady, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was a banger, dude.
I think it was one of those things you were like, I don't listen to Garth Brooks. And I was like, well, you got to check out these songs.
Yeah.
This one in particular, because he talks about banging some gal.
No, I burned that into a CD and I had it in the car for the long. It's still there.
So yeah, there's a laundry list. They are coming all genres. And so, rap is one of my other favorites because they're not so subtle in rap songs. They're just in your face about it.
Yeah, that's the thing with those. It's like, all right, I get it. You guys are fucking. All right.
Yeah.
There's a song by Boosie and Wavy. It's called Gimme That Pussy. I like that song. It makes me laugh because he's just like, girl, gimme that pussy. Girl, gimme that. And you're like, all right, well, there you go.
The other one that I find kind of, was it on your show that I heard it? The one that goes like that, Pussy Ain't Got No Face? Pussy ain't got no face.
Probably, yeah. I played a lot of those songs on my show. I got like the Whisper song by the Yin Yang Twins, is Wait Till You See My Dick. Hey, big. See my dick. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, actually, no. I think Pussy Ain't Got No Face was on the Hot Butter podcast.
Oh, hey. Yeah. I think I remember that one.
I think they might have done that one. Either
way. Back, Jan, that's a deep hole. Rodrigo's talking history lessons up in here.
Yeah, the old timers.
So, yeah, did you guys pick your favorite songs about fucking, or did you just pick ones that you like?
I had a hard time narrowing it down. Not narrowing it down. I had a hard time finding one.
Denise, he had a hard time.
It was pretty difficult, yes. I didn't want to go with like the obvious ones. I was trying to get like a deep cut or something. And I was like, I can't. You know, I was like, oh, there's, you know, Fuck Her Gently by Tenacious D. That's always like one of my go-tos.
Yeah.
I had heard this song before. And I forgot about it. The Loophole song by Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. That's the Comedy Gals?
Yes. That one's funny, but it's a little too musical-y for me. And I was like, I don't really like musical styles.
Oh, this music's got too much music in it.
Yeah. So I didn't go with that one. But I went with a different one. So by the way, Jody B, the way we do it now is we make a guest sandwich. So Denise and I takes turns going first, and then the guest goes in the middle, and then the other one goes at the end. You know what I'm
saying? Goddamn right. Get in here, you two kids. I'm around both of you.
We get a little Eiffel Tower action going on with the guest.
Yeah, high five, everybody.
So with that, I guess I'll get to my song. I found one that was like pretty funny. Everybody's heard Dick in a Box, right?
Yes.
It's my dick in a box.
Yes.
Apparently, they did a few other sex songs.
Oh, Rod, you might have brought one of my favorites.
No, well, I didn't. I didn't bring them. But I almost brought Three Way, The Golden Rule. Is that the one you were going to say?
No, I was going to say Mother Lover.
Oh, that's the other good one. Yeah. I think this one comes right after Mother Lover. Because
every mother's day needs a mother's night. Doing it is wrong. I don't want to be right.
Because the music video starts with them coming out of the mother's houses.
Yeah. That's the third one in the sequence.
Yeah, so that's Three Way, The Golden Rule, featuring...
It's not gay if it's in a three way.
Yes, exactly.
But the shorty in the middle, that's a leeway. Justin Timberlake was the best.
Yeah.
Can we agree? Justin Timberlake is probably the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a whole minute of yes.
I know.
No, it's a bop.
Or how does he say it, right? He goes, you want to impress a chick? Go helicopter dick. Won't helicopter dick.
Yes. Lady Gaga's in the middle like, oh my God.
That's so silly. God.
That's one thing about Jody. You have a memory for lyrics. Memorize all the songs. I remember back in the day, Jody B used to submit songs and sing them all the time. And it was great. That was one of the things that I missed the most once we stopped doing the old listening party podcast.
Hit me up. I got a better microphone now. You're not just going to get it in my truck while I'm driving.
Well, we don't do submissions anymore. Sorry. So
it sounds like you're going to get some anyway.
Every episode, we'll just have Jody B singing. I'm going to be like, Jody B, this is the theme this month. Send me a song. And we'll just play it.
New segment.
I like that. I'll do that. I'll let it be your opener.
Oh, I do like that idea. Or it'll give me the closer, maybe. We don't want to scare the listeners away.
Maybe you don't.
But anyways, I didn't go with that song. I ended up going with one that is a little obvious. It's an oldie but a goodie, but it had a good story, so that's kind of what I went with. Caress Me Down by Sublime.
Me llamo Bradley, I'm hornier than Ron Jeremy, and if you wanna get popped in your knee, just wipe that look off your body face. You hate me cause I got what you need, a pretty little daughter that we call Mixie. Yes, if you wanna get beat physically, it will be over in a minute if you... So she told me to come over and I took that trip. And then she pulled out my mushroom tip. And when it came out, it went drip, drip, drip. I didn't know she had the G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip. And it went, and the girl caressed me down, and that's that loving sound. And it went, and the girl caressed me down, and that's that loving sound. When that kiss mix, she makes me feel horny. The type of lover with the sensitivity. When she kissed my neck and tickled me fancy, with the right kind of love on a Sunday morning. En el otro lado es donde viví, con un mijita que se llama Mexia. Su hermana sí me quiere, y ahorita tenemos un bebé. Sus padres me trataron matar, but they did not get too far.
So there you go, that was Caress Me Down by Sublime. So this came out in 96. The first time I probably heard it was I was like 6th or 7th grade or something. I was fresh off the boat. I mean, that's for Asian people.
I was fresh off the budo.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so I had just started kind of like finding my own music that I was into because, you know, all like my friends in school were like, oh, dude, you got to listen to K-Rock. You know, K-Rock's where it's at. And I remember the first time I heard this song, it just blew my mind. I was like, wait, like they're playing this on the radio?
I've never heard this song before.
What? No, are you kidding?
Listen, here's the thing. I enjoy Sublime, and I may have heard it before, but I've never like listened to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because like I've flipped through like the greatest hits. I know the fucking the radio jams for sure, and I know a few of the In Between Us, but like I've never thrown on a Sublime album, unfortunately. But I'm gonna throw this one on again. Like I've never heard that before, and my buddy Red's gonna be mad at me from the shitty song of the week. He's a big fan of Sublime. He keeps me in the know. Are you guys big Sublime people?
Just like the hits on the radio, pretty much. But I did see the bit. I think you talked about it recently, or maybe somebody else did, about his son joining the band and all that.
That was... I told you that.
Oh, you told me that.
Okay,
oh,
so that's what I was going to bring up. I don't know. That's like breaking news from what we were talking about the other day. I had no idea. But they fired Rome, and apparently Bradley Noel's kid is going to go be the lead singer, which is excellent, right?
I mean, yeah, if you're going to do that and if you're going
to
like
start over with a new fresh lead singer, because that's the deal. Like people, I'm sure it's no surprise. But if you didn't know, like Sublime didn't get famous until after the lead singer died.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fucking crazy when you think about it. And so this whole time they were just like, yeah, enjoy those musics. We're not going to be able to tour for a while.
Well, but then they found Rome and then they were doing it for a while.
But there's the thing, like they stalled out for a minute and a half though, right? Like Sublime wasn't a thing until they got Rome again.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Am I crazy? Because I don't know the history, but I'm assuming that was the end of that.
I thought you just meant like from when they stopped with Rome to when they got the son in there.
You know, this is breaking news. Like that just happened in the last year or the last few months, I thought.
Yeah. It was in December. They had like some benefit show and he just showed up with the guys and did some songs. I mean, yeah, he sounds just like him.
I don't remember how old he was, but I was like, it had to have taken a while. Like your vocal range, like for him to sound like his dad, it was going to take some time, like practice and like age wise.
He's just practicing, smoking cigarettes and huffing paint. Trying to get his voice right.
Trying to get that graveliness in there. Well, even though he didn't have graveliness, just getting it there.
If that's his dad, surely he sings the song. Because everybody sings Sublime songs anyway. You sing Santeria and shit like that when you're just fucking... If you hear it, you'll sing along. Like, I'm sure that kid's been singing a song since he was fucking 5. Maybe not that one, but...
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. Like, another one that's kind of on a similar boat is Scott Weiland's son. He was in a band with, like, Slash's son and I forgot who else's son.
I'm going to need some details on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was like 2 or 3 years ago now.
No, that was...
Even before that? Before the Pandy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was before the Pandy for sure. But yeah, supposedly the other sons kicked Scott's son out of the band because he was going down the wrong path already like his daddy.
And, doing heroin, trying to impress Baja.
Yeah. He's like, come on, guys, this is how our dads did it. They're like, nah, bruh, drugs aren't cool anymore. Why did I bring him up? Oh, yeah, because yes, kind of like what you were mentioning, if you're going to go for that, like, hey, we want somebody that sounds exactly like our original singer, then what better thing to do than get his son?
The kid.
Yeah.
Just like Denise said, you got to wait 20 years for it.
Well, I guess that's what happened.
I mean, I just know because like I took a vocal class or whatever, and she was talking, my professor was talking about how like, you know, your vocal range changes, gets deeper as you get older. And sure. Like I listened back to tapes of me and my sister talking like when I was like 5, and I sound like my sister now. Like, does that make sense? Like listening back, like I thought it was me talking, but it was my sister.
Like, oh, I see.
Yeah. And that's my half sister.
Maybe you just adjust to it naturally through hearing it and then developing your vocal thing. Like over time, it just changes, huh?
Yeah. I think Ciflo had mentioned that his daughter was playing, this was years ago when she was really little, was playing with one of those vocal changing, like where you record yourself and then you can change it and make it deeper or higher. Mm-hmm. And she made it deeper and it sounded exactly like her mom. And she's like, oh.
Side note, you know, as I was going to be a side note.
Yeah.
I've had a thought. Your voice typically gets deeper when you get older, right?
Yes.
Is that not typically how it goes?
That's my understanding, yeah.
There's one that's boggling me because if you guys are any fans, maybe you heard this. So, you know, the song Smooth, right? With Santana, Rob Thomas?
Yes.
I don't know, a year, maybe 2 years ago now? They did like a sequel song. Have you seen?
Oh, they did.
That?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Allegedly. Uh-huh. Air quote, but it's Rob Thomas and Santana. They did like a sequel thing to like Smooth, and it's called Move.
No, I never heard it.
When I listened to it, damn, now I'm going to say that for another episode just to blow your fucking mind a little bit. Because it's weird when you hear Rob Thomas. Like, I like Matchbox 20. Mm-hmm. I like the old stuff. I listen to it often. And like, part of why I like Matchbox 20 is in the parts where Rob Thomas gets a little fucking wild and crazy with it, and he's all growling and that shit, you know? But in this newer song, he's all in like a completely higher key, register, whatever you want to call it, an octave. He's not anywhere near. I didn't know it was Rob Thomas. I listened to the goddamn song 3 or 4 times. I said, when does Rob Thomas start singing? I had to watch a whole video, and I'm like, well, hold on now. And then you start listening to other stuff, and it's like, I guess his voice got higher. Maybe he got surgery. Can you get vocal cord surgery?
I don't know.
That's strange. Yeah, That's odd. Maybe they put a little effect on it.
Homework, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen.
But yeah, maybe it's like what Denise is saying. Maybe his voice just isn't as good anymore. So they did like some kind of like auto-tune thing where they just tuned it up higher.
Tuned him up. Maybe.
That could also be it.
That's what they wanted to do. That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I like the growly, low-endedness of Rob Thomas. And I don't know why you would take that away.
I don't know why he would do that. Because I agree. Yeah, like I like Rob Thomas as well. A lot of people hate on Matchbox 20, and I'm like, why? Just leave him alone. They got some bangers.
I love Matchbox 20. Is it Denise? Does she bully you? I'll sit right here in the pocket with you, bro. We can fight. Matchbox 20 rules.
Yeah. You and Carl are now the only two people that I know who like Matchbox 20. Carl, long time friend of the show, no longer a podcaster, but he used to do the Fourth Line podcast. Did that for a while. But yeah, he also is a Matchbox 20
How's
fan.
This? I don't even like Matchbox 20. I fucking love Matchbox 20.
Same. I love Matchbox. I think I've said this on the podcast before. They have one of my favorite freaking like sad breakup songs. It's called Rest Stop. I love that song.
Pretty good. I like Back to Good. That's my favorite Matchbox 20 song.
That's a good one.
Everyone here
hates everyone here for doing just like they do.
Starting now. Bling.
Anyways, yes. So that was my song, Caress Me Down. Denise, what'd you think about it? Any thoughts, comments, questions, concerns?
I think I had to change the channel every time the song came on the radio.
Oh, right.
Like when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I listened to a couple Sublime albums that was very popular in my circle. Not as popular as fucking Weezer and Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins or whatever.
Smashing Pumpkins was big for us at my school.
Yeah. I kind of told Rod to go with that song. I liked his story. I like his songs like about him coming from Mexico. So
that's what I was gonna say. Yeah,
your life stories.
Yeah. So yeah. To me, it was just crazy that not only was the lyrical content so dirty, but the parts where he's singing in Spanish, I was like, what
Rod,
the hell?
Am I crazy or is his Spanish probably better than yours?
No. That's what I was going to say. His Spanish is like, it's not good Spanish. It's like,
See, I didn't know, but all I kept hearing, I was like, oh, he's on a fucking roll. Look at that.
And the part that even got me, like, blew my mind even more is the line where he says, me gusta mi reggae, me gusta punk rock, pero la cosa que me gusta más es Panochita. I'm like, what the hell? They put this in the radio? Because Jody B, I don't know if you know. Do you know what Panochita is?
Para Espanol, presta número dos.
No.
Continue on, it's not key.
That's basically slang for vagina, is what that is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So I was like, Jesus, this is on the radio? And it was.
I know words for, is it Pinoche? Is that one?
Panocha, yes.
Yeah, Panocha.
Panocha. Yeah. I like that.
But Panochita is like a little Panocha.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Carito, caro. I get it.
Yes, you have the ito or the ita, and that makes it a little. It's like a diminutive.
There's another one too. Is it concha? Is it something like that?
Conchita?
Conchita?
Does that mean vagina or does that mean like cunt or something? Oh, can I say that one?
That's fine. Sorry. I don't think Mexicans call it that. I think it's like another.
I love Spanish. It's a word of love. It's a language of love.
Yeah.
And like in some of the words when I hear them, I go, oh, that's way better.
No, yeah, I think concha is like a different Latin American country.
Okay.
That calls.
Maybe it's Cuban or something.
Yeah, maybe. Or like Puerto Ricans or something.
Because that's just bread that I know of. Like
that's not Latin. That's American, bitch.
Well, they speak Spanish. They speak like a version of Spanish.
It's owned by America. They're Americans.
But yeah, like Denise was saying, concha is like a sweet bread in Mexico. Like, have you seen it? Do you guys have sweet bread over there? Mexican sweet bread? I'm sure. Mexicans are everywhere.
Okay, so look, we got a, hold on. It's not a taqueria. It's a, is it a taqueria? The place, the Mexican store? What is
a
that called?
Panaderia? A bakery?
Yeah, it's in there. Yes. But I'm trying to think of what the name of, like the store, if what it's called, but it's Mexican for store.
Carniceria?
Spanish for store. Anyway.
Everything is carniceria. Anyways, whatever. Continue.
Yeah. Go there. They got Mexican sweetbreads. I didn't realize how dense these fucking things are.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought it was going to be like donuts or something. You go in.
It's very dry.
You go, hey, look at that. Fuck, that looks delicious. And you get a little tray and you get the paper and you plop them fucking bricks down. And dude, we got a dozen of them. We wanted to try everything because we're like, fuck it. This is a new place. We're buying local. I'd actually ended up knowing the guy when I got to the checkout line as a dude I went to high school with. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Fist bump. It was tough to eat, Rod. Like, I don't know if you're supposed to pour milk on them. Like, are you guys not used to having milk with your fucking cookies? Or like, are you supposed to soak that shit in beer or something first?
In coffee, cafecito.
Oh, that would make way more sense.
Yeah. Definitely got to dunk it in something.
I didn't know if I just went too late in the day. I was like, is this how this is supposed to be? Like, I guess if I come early in the morning, is it going to be like eating a brick again?
Wait, Jody B, tell everyone where you're from. I'm not sure
I was gonna
if we mentioned that.
Like,
Arkansas? Close enough to Mexico that we should have a better pancheria or whatever the fuck it's called.
Pancheria, I love it. I would call it that from now on.
Yeah. Their fucking breakfast burritos are on point, though. They got the chorizo, con jueves, huevos on the big homemade tortillas. I fucking love Mexican. I love Mexican food. I love Mexican culture. That's a good fucking store. I just didn't like their hard fucking donuts. That was the problem I had with it.
Pan dulce is a tough sell sometimes.
Yeah.
They look pretty as shit. Like, you walk in there, you see them in the little glass cases, and you go, those are good looking donuts. And they're not great.
Like, I've debated. Like, I've brought pastries, like the guava cheese, like which is Cuban or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
That's not, I was going to say that's not Mexican.
But I brought those and I've debated, like, because this, I know this place is Pandaria that's cheaper. And I was like, dude, I could get, like, they'll hook me up and I could bring like pastries. But I was like, they're going to be dry as fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I can't take that into a meeting.
Because they didn't get it from the store, you know, you're going to be talking shit. I don't like that.
For sure. back to what we were saying. One of those Mexican sweetbreads is called the concha.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's the one that looks like a shell, right? Like it's with the sugar on top or the icing or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Like they got like a chocolate, vanilla one, a strawberry. Yeah.
Yep. That's a concha. One had pink on it. It was giant too. It was the size of a fucking dinner plate. Big ass. grilled donut with pink icing on it. That's horrible.
But anyways, yes. Jody, turn it over to you now.
My turn for songs about fucking. I like country music songs about fucking because you can't really be dirty. Now, I think there's a certain level of plausible deniability, a tongue-in-cheek, if you will, like aspect to a lot of country songs about fucking. Because you can't use the bad word, you can't really be on the nose about it. So in this case, I brought one of my favorites that's more along the lines of metaphorically. And there is a level of plausible deniability that you could go like, hey, man, is this song about what I think it's about? And he could go, no, dude, it's totally not about that. It's about this other thing. And you go, I don't know, dude. And then you go, yeah, totally. It's a song about mudding. You know, rednecks, we like mudding and driving in the mud with the brum brum. And you go out and drink beer on tailgates and set stuff on fire. That's what we do. Well, that's party mudding. Apparently, there's private mudding. Brad Paisley has a song about it, too, that I'm pretty sure is along the lines of, like, the innuendo. It's called Mud on the Tires.
Is that, like, going in the back door?
It's what it sounds like, kind of. I think that's the metaphor he's going for, but there is a lot more, like, truck reference in that one.
Oh, okay.
Those are my favorite, like, parody songs where you can get real silly with it. Like, Dewey Cox, they did it a lot. Like, remember, let's do it, and that whole shit.
Yeah. We just watched that movie for the first time in a long time. Yeah. And we forgot how good it was.
Dude, Cox fucking rocks.
Yes.
So I heard a song a few years ago out of the blue by an artist that I like. His name's John Michael Montgomery. You guys, I don't think you listen to a lot of country, but have you ever heard the name?
No.
No.
So he had a pretty good 90s country guy. Faded off after that when the boom came in, the music kind of changed and he went away and all that stuff. But John Michael Montgomery had his time and his place. This is from an album a little before, like his pop, and it's called Four Wheel Drive. And you hear that and you go, oh, this is a fucking, you know, a song about going mudding, like you say, right? I throw the song on, I'm just flipping through. I start listening to the words and I hear it and I hit it. I go, what the fuck did he just say? And I hit it back again, and then, like, my eyes widened, and I go, oh, he's talking about fucking, I think. So I'm not here tonight to say whether or not I'm sure. I want to present evidence. Your Honor, if I may approach the bench, give me some cool Law and Order music or something right there. I want to present to you, Your Honor, the evidence, Exhibit A, from John Michael Montgomery. You tell me, is this a song about fucking, or is this a man who simply likes riding through the mud with his girlfriend late in the evening times, Your Honor?
Well, last night, me and darling, we went exploring, pulled off the road to a place we had never been. I had to stop the truck because it was getting muddy. We started kissing, then I put it in. Four-wheel drive, and we kept on going. Man, what a ride. It made me feel like a kid again. Slipping and sliding, bouncing around in the cab, bringing back old memories of all the good times we've had. Then I pulled it out back on the main road. I looked over at darling, and her face was all aglow. She said, honey, that was wonderful. Can we do it again? So I leaned over toward her and I put it back in.
So guys, gals, I'm not sure. That is either about a man and a woman who like to go mudding on lake country roads all by themselves and it's romantic. Or it's a song about butt sex. I'm pretty sold on option B. B for butt sex.
Yes.
Well, I didn't think it was butt sex. I just thought it was just sex in general. But you're saying, nah, this is butt sex.
Four-wheel drive, I assume, is something you're not going to be doing all the time. And like I said, there's already the mud innuendos and stuff like that. It's like, he's talking about butt sex. She's like, hold it out.
That sounds about right. No, you're right. You're right.
Because in my mind, that's what it was. It was A for anal and B for butt sex. This song is about one or the other. Which one do you think? There's zero chance. Like, John Michael Montgomery's had some pretty serious songs about, like, you know, war veteran stuff and a little girl whose parents were, like, beating her and fucking ended up double suicide. And, like, he's had some pretty heavy duty fucking songs. I cannot imagine you would sing the song without a little bit of a smile on your face. You know what I'm saying? This isn't the pull your hat. Even if he pulled his shit all the way down and you couldn't see anything but his fucking teeth, it would be turned up on the edges and be like, I pulled it out. Back on the main road.
Especially the way he sings. He's like, and then I put it in. And then you're like, oh, shit. It's like four-wheel drive. It's like, God damn it.
We kept on going.
Yeah. It's like, you guys are the ones with the dirty mind. I'm just talking about off-roading here.
Yeah.
A question for you, since you're more versed in the world of country music. You mentioned like, oh, you know, they can't say the bad words. They can't do this. They can't do that. So is it that kind of a thing where certain artists, I guess if you want to be more mainstream, you wouldn't just straight up like talk about, you know, having sex in your truck or something or doing it in the butt.
You'd have to be real fucking cute about it like this. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't a banger. This wasn't some shit that was in the top 10. This is scrolling through John Michael Montgomery's playlist. You kind of come across this one eventually.
It's a deep cut.
Yeah, I like that shit, dude. And I like this song. Like, it's just one of those little tongue-in-cheek, funny country songs about banging. I know plenty of other ones that some of them are more serious about banging, you know? Mm-hmm. But this was just a cute little song about fucking. I like it.
Denise, what'd you think about it?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I dig it when there's innuendos, and it's, like, definitely different from the artist that I brought.
Oh,
geez.
Oh, geez. She brought a fucking Two Live Crew.
So along the lines of your song, Jody, have you played this song when you're riding around the car with your son?
Not yet. I have to be very careful with my music because that will happen. We had to discuss his favorite band the other day. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound pretty gay, but I'm going to say it. He said, I like Taylor Swift. I go, do you? I like Taylor Swift. You know, he said, she's my favorite. I go, how many Taylor Swift songs do you know? And he said, I know like one, you know, and he said the Shake It Off song. And I go, is that it? He goes, yeah, I think so. And I go, okay. And we thought, because I had to help, you know, I play his music. I hear what he hears and all this shit. And I go, first of all, your favorite band is Imagine Dragons. And he was like, what? I don't even like them that much. I go, all right, let's play a fun fucking game, asshole. And I started singing the song because he's been caught. You know, I've caught him on camera a few times, fucking listening to the shit in his room. So we started going through songs that he knew, like eight of them, eight or nine fucking Imagine Dragon songs, but just cranked them up. We're just like, no, you know, Radioactive. I would sing just, I'm waking up, I feel it in my bones, and see if he could finish it off. And like he did it. And then he got me on one that I forgot about. So it was pretty fun. Just the kid starting to retain the shit that he likes, you know?
Yeah.
I like Imagine Dragons. Fuck you guys. Not you guys, but like you guys out there who are like, Imagine Dragons fucking gay. Imagine Dragons fucking great. You can get serious. I like Imagine Dragons. Got a lot of percussion. Yeah, everything that's mainstream is gay now, and that's fine. I'm gay for Imagine Dragons. I like their fucking songs.
I think it's great. Well, I mean, I have no first-hand experience. No, I sort of do. Yeah, with my niece and my nephew. When they start to kind of like music and like it, and not just like the little kiddie songs that they play in school or whatever,
you know, like a thing or a band or somebody that they actually get into, like you said, more than two or three songs worth of the same person where you go, this is the same guy. Ooh, I like this one. And they learn the words and sing along and shit like that.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's always fun. Sometimes you get a little disappointed because you're like, oh, that's what you're into. All right.
Oh, you want to hear this one? This one's going to hurt too, but I'm going to say it anyway. Love the Wonka movie. Learned almost all the fucking songs from the new Wonka movie just from listening to the soundtrack over and again while he's sleeping.
Oh my God.
I didn't even know they had songs in that movie.
What?
It's musical style. It's a musical? I heard it was a musical.
It's a musical, yeah. Oh. The original was a musical. Well, so it kind of had to be. That's why what everybody wanted. So
this last Willy Wonka. I'm sorry. No one wanted it. No one asked for it.
A lot of people were upset about it, but the thing is, I got an 8-year-old boy, and he had watched both Willy Wonka movies to preemptive, you know, get him into the thing. Like the original for what it was, but like some of the shit of the second one, too. So he had a nice mixed opinion, you know, wasn't biased either direction. We went and saw Wonka and he fucking loved it, man. He kept singing the songs and I kept singing the songs too because he was singing the songs. And so now if I walked in there and you get him going, you just say, I've got one. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know the fucking words like he does. But all you keep going. Never had chocolate like this. No, you've never had chocolate like this.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to go listen to the soundtrack.
Wait, is that another innuendo song?
Hey, oh.
Never had chocolate like this.
All right. And with that, we've come to the final song of the evening. Denise, go ahead.
Yesterday, Rod was struggling, dude. Like, I had my song. Like, Rod made me, like, try and play a playlist, but it was a lot of rap stuff. So I just started, like, throwing in, like, classics that I remembered. There's the classics. There's the super dirty songs. There's funny songs. Because of the 110 podcast, I'm all about those smaller artists with less than 1,000 listens. And this is an open micer that I found. Hilarious. I think she is definitely better live. This song is called 562-365-7269. But everyone just calls it Get Freaky. And with that, Rod's going to play it.
Lately, baby, you've been on my mind. And I know it's wrong, but we had some good times. Get freaky, yeah, yeah. Get freaky, yeah, yeah. And I know it's been about 10 years or so. And you're married now and you're getting really old. But if you ever want, yeah. And I know you're making lots of money. And I've seen your wife, she's really pretty. And I get it, yeah, yeah. Why you left me, yeah, yeah. But if you're down for a threesome like we used to talk about, if you're down for messing around, you just call me, yeah, yeah. We'll get freaky, yeah, yeah. And if you didn't save my number, well, here it is again. You can call me anytime or text 562-365-7269. 562-365-7269. We'll get down, yeah, yeah. We'll get freaky, yeah, yeah. Just call me, yeah, yeah.
So that was my song. That album dropped in what, 2021?
2022.
The album's called Taco Truck Confessions, and it's a little
it's streaming everywhere.
Streaming everywhere.
It's a Pandy jam.
Yeah, I think I did most of my
writing. Was your song?
Yeah, that was me.
Holy shit, that's crazy.
Well, that's Deeper's song. That's Deeper's song.
Oh, Jesus. That's her artist
that's
name.
That's my artist name.
Since we've last spoken, Jody, Deeper has really, I guess she started doing open mics out of nowhere. That was after the LPP and everything, right?
Yeah.
So she started doing open mics, and at first she would just do like little ukulele covers.
Yeah.
And then slowly she started writing her... Why am I telling your story? You tell a story.
Well, I don't know. Then I just started writing my own songs.
You got the best hype, man. In business.
That was my song.
Fuck, if I would have known, I'd have started clapping. My kid's sleeping out. I want to wake him up. But that was fucking great, dude.
Thank you.
How are you working on any new music? Any new songs coming soon?
I have a few new songs that I've played, but I don't know if I want to record or put anything out. I feel like... I play the same stuff. My new stuff's not really like hitting. I'm not as confident in it as my old stuff. I still just do open mics, and I have this one place that always calls me to like play and stuff. But I don't want to keep playing like the same stuff.
Do you dress up and stuff, Denise? Like, do you make it like a real alter ego?
Oh no, it's my flannel. You should. It's
come
just
on,
me and
bro.
My flannel.
You should shiz it up a little bit. No, you need the fucking Hannah Montana that shit for real, like. Look, I know it sounds fucking silly, and I know you guys probably thought it when it first came on, but it's like my stupid sunglasses and my light and stuff like this. Like, if I sat in here with a light on and talked, we would just bullshit. But like, when you put on your persona, it's kind of, it's pretty fucking cool. And I can only imagine doing it in front of an audience would be even better if you were actually talented. I'm not. That's why I sit in my fucking office.
I mean, I do dress better than what I'm normally
in. Need something in particular, like a hat or a fucking a pair of boots. Like there's something that you need to fucking throw on that you can just be like, fuck yeah, Deaver. Deeper yeah. in the house. Maybe it's a pair of Timberlands. I don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
Denise does like boots, though.
I do love my boots. Yeah.
Timberlands and a wife beater.
Speaking of open mics and all that, Jody, you're a big fan of comedy, stand-up comedy in particular.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you've done a bunch of roast battles with your other podcasting buddies and all that, but have you ever, I can't remember if you've spoken about this on the show or not, but have you ever tried like an open mic stand-up comedy kind of thing?
I've done it exactly 3 times.
What was that like?
You guys ever done cocaine?
No.
No.
Well, if you haven't done cocaine, it's going to be hard to explain. I've done cocaine. I've done stand-up comedy. They give you the exact same feeling.
Well, I mean, I guess, not that I've ever done cocaine, but when I started doing these
We got to do some, go get a tester kit to make sure there's no fentanyl in there because that stuff kills nowadays. But get you some cocaine and then try that. And now you've done open mics or whatever and you'll be like, oh yeah, it is kind of the same. That's crazy. I didn't know they sold this feeling in a bag.
For me, it was really when I did my own songs and people would laugh. So obviously there's like a comedy theme to like my songs or whatever. I've heard comics like explain it as like a bug, you know, like you caught the bug or whatever, like this, this like itch that you want more of that. Like you want
get an adrenaline dump, a dopamine. It all comes at once. That's the same feeling. Like for anybody who's ever hunted, if you're a hunter person, you've ever done that, like that feeling when your heart starts pounding in your fucking chest and you can't really hear, your vision gets real clear. And like you can, your everything you say sounds like an echo. It's just like you're Charlie Brown. If you're talking to a thing, you try to say the right thing, but the whole time it's just going.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's a really
good looking around. But when you get done, you feel great. Like you feel like blood just circulated from your fucking heart to every fingertip and toe, whatever you've got left. And you fucking stand there and it takes probably a good 20 minutes for that to go away.
Yeah. But for me, it's not a good thing.
Oh,
like because I have really bad anxiety. So like. Sure.
Well, it probably feels exactly the same, but it's like it's good when it's induced by an audience that laughs or claps or whatever the fucking thing is that you're trying to do, especially if they don't have to. Some crowds are really nice. Some people are tough. And if you're good, typically you'll at least get something out of it, a clap or a fucking couple dollar bills in your fucking guitar case.
Yeah, well, that's actually what I've heard some people say, where like anxiety is the same exact chemical reaction as like excitement, but it's just the way you kind of perceive it in your brain.
Probably feels like a panic attack. Yeah, sure. And I guess it might be the exact same thing depending on who you ask. It's this, the feeling is all the same. It's just some people like it and some people chase it when you get it. And stand-up comedy, in my 3 experiences, you get the exact feeling.
Yeah,
the adrenaline dump and all that shit, and it feels pretty great if that's what you like. I loved it, but I also understood that like to keep doing that, I would not podcast anymore, A, because that would be my new fucking passion and hobby. And then it would probably end up to tearing into my family time a little bit. So
yeah.
I had to make a decision, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was going to ask you next. Oh, I'm sorry, Denise. Sorry. I interrupted you when you were going to say that you get anxiety. So for you, it's not that good of a feeling.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's it. Like, I mean, she loves it too.
It's a love-hate, right, Denise?
Yeah, it is. Like, because, like, I used to get the shakes, like, when I first started. Like, I just started shaking uncontrollably. Like,
I get the shakes every show. 10 minutes, I pace. I smoke cigarettes. Like, I feel like it's just like walking into a place for the first time every time. I know it's going to be fine. I get in, start talking. Even if it's a complete fucking stranger or it's a big show or whatever, if there's live chats and lights and bells, and it's always the same feeling. And that's kind of what we're all doing, I think.
But the shaking went away. But like, it's that afterwards, it's like, yeah, they laugh. And I'm like, okay, that was like cool. But I also like, I'm very nervous afterwards, to the point where like, I'm very awkward if people try and like compliment me like afterwards, or like say good job or talk to me, I'm still like, and not that I'm shaking anymore, but I'm very awkward and in my head or whatever. And I'm trying to figure out a way to like, like stop that. Like, or
yeah, you need a fucking Undertaker hat, and you can just like people come to thank you. Beaver goes like preach and like does a fist bump pound.
Yeah,
that's a good strategy.
Need a protocol, dog.
Okay, yeah. So that was gonna be my next question for you, Jody. Was like, what was the reason for not continuing?
I would never randomly speak about somebody and say, oh, I'm funnier than that person or whatever. And, you know, I've definitely seen people in those comedy shows that weren't prepared very well, or, you know, were trying to go for a gimmick and there was only 20 people there. You know, it was every time it was like 20 people. It's not enough to hurt your feelings, but it's enough to get you the kick that you need, the little bit of juice. I recorded two of them. They're a little cringy, but I have them.
Oh, would you mind sharing those with myself here? I wouldn't mind listening to them. If you don't mind.
I'll share it with you for sure.
Ah, nice. I'm interested.
I don't think it was terrible. That's the thing. It wasn't fantastic. I didn't get a standing ovation. But
no, but that's how it is. Like, you're just starting out. Like, yeah.
Honestly, I like going to the comedy open mics because of the cringe. I don't know.
It's cringy as shit, bro. Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty much just open mic comedy people that are make up the audience. So some of them are going to be nice and they're going to give you the pity laughs and they're going to
yeah,
just so everybody else fucking claps along and goes with it. But they're going to talk shit about you after the fact.
Inevitably, at some, not all of the open mics that Denise goes to, but every now and then you'll get a comic at a like poetry / music open mic. And that's already like a bad setup. It's like people aren't there to hear comedy, number one. And number two, it's very sensitive people because they're out there sharing their poetry or like their very depressing songs or something.
Correct.
And so, yeah, it's like, oh, man, you're really like you got some balls doing stand up comedy in front of that kind of crowd. And yeah, inevitably, everybody's just like, OK. So I always try to laugh extra hard.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm just like, dude, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was going with that.
The cringe. I don't know.
I don't think it was the cringe. I forget what it was. Yeah, I don't know. I just enjoy it. And kind of like what you were saying at those open mics, like you would think they'd be a little bit better prepared because it's like, dude, like you're already like an underdog here because you're not doing what everybody else is doing. And sometimes they just wouldn't even have anything prepared and you're just kind of like, oh, okay. So that's always hard. Because
it's funny now because I've kind of hammered out some of the details to make it like a, you know, something, a funny story like you would tell. But the first time I did it, I, you know, you get the info. It's on Wednesday. You got a call this time to get on the list. And then you show up and you check in. And I just said, fuck it, I'm going to do this. So I did the thing. I got in. I think I got delayed one when I finally decided I was going to do it. Called in that fucking day. Had to find out. They said, oh, it's next Wednesday. Then you call that Wednesday. And it's like, oh, you're too late. Whatever. So it's like, it took 2 weeks of like calling and trying and going, hey, can I fucking come do the stupid shit? And I finally, when I got a hold of them, they said, yeah, I'll put you in the thing. Said, you got to show up by this time. I said, if you're not here, then we're going to this. So you make it sound like you're going to get run the fuck out of town, basically. You know, you show up. There was like 10 people standing out in the fucking thing. And you check in. And the guy goes, cool. And you've been thinking about what you're going to say. I wrote my shit down on index cards. I was like, I don't give a fuck if I got to read this off this card. Like, I'm going to fucking have a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I show up. And he goes, nice to meet you. My name's Tyler. This is the deal. You put your name here for drawing order. Here's the things you can't say. He goes, you're an open micer. You cannot say shit. Or he said, you can't say fuck, cunt, motherfucker, you know, rattled off probably 6 or 7 curse words, like the real bad ones. Yeah, cunt, yeah. Motherfucker, fuck, god damn it, whatever, you know, the thing. And then he goes, the N word. And I kind of laugh and I go, are you sure about that? I didn't realize, you know, and I was just being smart. I gotta rewrite this whole fucking thing, Tyler. Thanks. But luckily, there was only a couple times in what I wrote down that I said fuck. And I go, that's cool. I can change it to shit. Because he didn't say you can't say. I said, can I say shit? He goes, you can say shit. He goes, just, you know. So him saying you can say shit, because like I said, I already wrote everything down. I've got my fucking plan right here. I'm like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go do the thing. And he says this. I go, oh, fuck. I went out of my car, and I almost left. I was like, I can't do this fucking shit. And I took out my fucking pen, and I just wrote out the couple things. And I go, this is fine. I'll go do this. And it was fine. You know what I mean? You get up there. You get in the thing. People did worse than I did. People did better than I did. They give you a little bit of a mercy laugh because, like you say, you're like, this is the first time I've ever done this. And they're like, okay, cool. Woo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure they don't want it on the episode, but literally, I think I've got it on my phone. I can play it for you when we're in the episode, and you can listen to the 6 minutes that I have. I just don't want to waste fans' time.
And also, I don't want to burn your jokes. You know what I mean? Like,
it's nothing that I've not said before. Or after
you got to save them for the special. When you sign up, like, because some mics here are kind of ridiculous. Like, they're like, you got to show up at 2 o'clock, and the mic starts at 7. Was it like a similar thing over there?
No, I mean, it wasn't terribly early, but that was the thing, is the place didn't open, and like nobody showed up there until like 4 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, you got to be here at 7 o'clock, or you got to be here at 6:30, whatever, to start at 7 o'clock, whatever the deal was.
Oh, okay.
And if you weren't there, then you would just be taken off the list or whatever.
No, I see. Because sometimes they get crazy over here. Some of the mics, it's like, all right, come on.
Yeah, all their rules or whatever, which I get. Like, you want to run a smooth mic or whatever you
want to
be.
We don't want to walk people, is what he said. And then he's like, at the end of the day, we don't want people to leave just from the warm-up acts. You know, he said, so keep it as friendly as you can and go out there and have fun. And I go, okay, thank you, sir.
And then so all three times you did it, it was at that same spot?
Same spot. It's the only one we got, the only comedy club. There's a couple other places I think you can do open mics, like bars and stuff, but I said, if I'm going to do this, I want to go do it at a comedy club.
Oh, nice.
Just
nice.
To see what that's like.
So in a way, you kind of went to the source. You did it right from the very beginning.
Yeah. I've been back to the comedy club for a couple of shows, and like, I met a buddy of mine, another podcaster, who came to town. It's one of the three people I've met face-to-face through podcasting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I went to the comedy club and met him, and they did like a radio podcast show episode while they were there. And then the guy who's on their show did a set, you know, later. He was doing a weekend thing or whatever. So,
all right. Well, I guess with that, that brings us to the end of the episode.
This long one, you're going to be editing this motherfucker for 3 weeks.
I only got 1 week, so. Jody, thanks so much for coming on the show again. Remind the folks, how can they get a hold of you? Tell them about your show. Where can they find it?
Google search Po' Boys Podcast. If you'd like to contact me on Twitter at Po' Boy Pod, go to www.biobidet.com. Use promo code Po' Boys. You get 10% off. Clean your booty hole like a champion. It's the summertime, springtime. The only pretty ring time. Birds sing a ding, a-ding, sweet love, there's love. Yeah, man. I'm hoping to pick up some sales this season. You know, it's changing people's lives out there, one butthole at a time, guys.
Yeah. No, you were definitely on the front lines of the bio bidet, the bidet in general. I know bio bidet is the brand, but like bidets in general. I remember Jody was slinging those things from way back in the day.
They say you sell what you know. I know I needed a clean booty hole, and so I went out and found a product that facilitated my needs, and goddamn it, they're nice enough to give me money every time somebody uses my promo code. So please, nice. BIOBIDET.com. Promo code Po' Boys.
Denise, where can people find you?
At Defur Music, DeeFur Music on Instagram.
All right. And if you want to get a hold of the show, email is the way to go. feedback@lppod.com. We're also on Instagram, I guess, if you want to go that way, at the LP Pod. And if you want to listen to even more podcasts, some that are still active, like the 110 podcast, Denise puts a lot of time and effort into that show. She puts out an episode every Friday. So if you want to listen to that, the easiest way is just go to 110pod.com. But if you want to find all the other podcasts that we've ever put together or done or whatever, head on over to talkingishard.com. You can find all those shows there. And if you made it this far, thank you very much. We know there are a million different ways for you to spend your free time, and we're just glad you get to spend a few of those minutes here with us. Jody, you have one of my favorite ways of signing off a podcast, which is...
Go fuck your mother's tits.
No, it was tell your friends, tell your mom.
Oh, tell your friends, tell your mom. Tell your friends, mom, about the show. Like, subscribe, rate, review. Sorry, that one is for a different sign-off, I guess.
I think so.
That's for Shitty Song of the Week. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. Jody, thanks again. Thank you so much for all your time. And we'll catch you on the next
one. I'm so happy to see you fucking guys. Thank you for having me. Hello, Internet, CeeLo, fucking Rudy. What's up, guys, you fucking assholes? We're back.
I love it. Yeah, I was just talking to Rudy the other day about it.
Shit he's been listening to, but he'll be like, you heard of Vince Gill? Oh, I fucking love Vince Gill.
Yeah. It's a hand. He's a homie.